right here. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This scripture right here, I believe, is the reason that the U.S. is so blessed and is such a strong, powerful nation, because they have always viewed Israel as a strong ally. They have always supported them and stood by their side. So as a result, I believe the U.S. is just blessed because of that, and it's right there in Scripture. I know in my own personal life, I have a buddy who's Jewish. I just go give him $5 every once in a while because he's Jewish. And I know, I mean, look at this right here. I will bless those who bless you. I mean, I'll be blessed because I'm blessing him. I mean, so if you know anybody, Ari, who's Jewish, I'm sure he'll be willing to take $5.
He does. He will take all your $5.
I'm sure he will. And you'll be blessed because of it. I believe it.
I'm Jewish too.
All right, let's go to chapter 17. That's Genesis chapter 17. Who's got their Bible this morning? Raise them up. Who's got their Bible? I don't care if it's on an iPhone. All right, turn on your Bible. Tell me when you're there. Are you there? If you're there, say, I'm there. All right. Genesis is at the front, just so you guys know. The front of your book, the Bible. All right, this is the sign of the covenant. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram, because he wasn't Abraham yet, and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make many nations of you, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you, your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Now, if you're Abraham right here, you're probably going, God, are you sure? I'm going to cut myself. This doesn't sound good. Let alone, he's 99 years old, and God just appeared to him. I know my grandpa, he's not 99. He's like in his late 70s, early 80s, I think. I don't know, he's old. That's okay to say because everyone in here is under, yeah. Carrie's only like 25, guys, just so you know. She told me. 99 years old, and God just appeared to him. I'd probably have a heart attack, and I'm a lot younger than 99. So I'm thinking Abram, or Abraham now, is a lot like my Uncle Harvey. Great Uncle Harvey. My great Uncle Harvey, until the age of 99, was still driving his own car. Most people are in nursing homes at 99. But he was still driving his car. He also was climbing up on his roof. He lived in northern Minnesota. And it snows. You think you get a lot of snow here?
We get a lot in Minnesota.
Yeah, we get a lot in Minnesota. And it stays for a long period of time. You have to shovel it off your roof or else it caves in. So he's up on his roof, shoveling it off. And the ladder falls down. He's 99. And he's looking around. He's like, how am I going to get down? Can't jump. You'll probably break a hip and die. It's cold in Minnesota, too. You freeze to death. So he's looking. Car drives by. He's rural Minnesota, farming community. Only car goes by every half hour. Car drives by. He's waving. He's trying to get their attention. They just drive by and go, oh, look, there's Great Uncle Harvey. Keep on driving. So he's stuck on the roof, and he died up there. No, I'm just kidding. That's not. He realizes that just like this, there's a telephone line that goes over to, he knows which one's the ground and which one's going to electrocute him. It goes over to a pole, and he'd been piling up snow next to this pole, and he goes, I can go drop down in that. So he goes hand over hand at 99 years old over and drops down in the snow, shakes off, and brushes himself off. He was just fine. This is how I imagine Abraham was, just a beast at 99. That's why God can appear to him and be like, what's up? So Abraham was probably a strong dude. Let's continue in scripture, though, here. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male child in your generation, he who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai. Either way, what is it? Sarai? I'm going with Sarai. Sounds like Siri. But Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He laughed because he's 99 years old, and God's telling him he's going to have kids. Sarah is very old, too. And he's telling him that she's going to have a kid. At a certain age, you are not able to have kids anymore. It's physically impossible. That is true. I'm proud of you. Glad we know that. So, that's why Abraham laughed. He falls on his face and goes, God, what? Let's move on. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son. What God's doing here is he's setting Israel apart. I'm thinking of right now, when I met my wife for the first time, she was just a girl. Abraham was just a dude. But she was just a girl, and we were in, well, youth group, just like this. And her and I, I was really into her, so I kind of, sat down. And I just kept looking at her. And she would, glance over at me every once in a while. And I was like, I probably had a staring problem. It was awkward. For her, not for me. I was really into her. So I kept staring at her. We kept making eye contact. I was with a friend, and I was like, who's that girl? And he was like, oh, her name's Taylor. Why? I was like, you should introduce me. So he did. Introduced me. I was like, hi, I'm Caleb. And that was basically it. Then I went on Facebook and stalked her. Yeah, I know. Hey, easy. Who doesn't? Yeah. Okay. Anyways, I stalked my wife on Facebook, finally got up the courage to friend request her. I was like, hey, let's friend request. She accepted my friend request. I was excited. So I sent her a message. We started talking. Then we started talking on the phone. Next thing I know, we're going out and dating. And we dated for a long time, almost 2 years. And then we got engaged. We got married. And at the wedding, something interesting happened. That would have been crazy. Anyway, Abraham did not show up to our wedding. It was actually quite small up in Winter Park. But we exchanged rings. God asked Abraham to circumcise himself as a sign as he was being set apart. And I put a ring on my wife as a sign of the covenant that was being made between us. Not only that, God changed Abram's name to Abraham and Sarah's name to Sarah. My wife, she changed her name to Olson from Colas. Don't call her Colas, she hates that. But all as a sign of the covenant between one another. She was being set apart as my wife. Abraham was being set apart, and all his descendants were being set apart as Israel. Before Abraham, no Israel. After Abraham, Israel. He was just a dude. Out of this covenant will come... Let me get back to my notes. iPads don't always work the way you want them to. Or I might just be old and not know how to work it. You guys probably can work it better than I can. Out of covenant comes inheritance, not just for Israel, but also for the Lord. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 9:29. When we think of inheritance, we think somebody dies, like my Uncle Harvey. He did eventually die. He's not still alive. He'd be like 120 now. But he used to actually go to the nursing home and do ministry. Like, we called it his youth group. Deuteronomy 9:29. Yet they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out by your mighty power and by your outstretched arm. We often think of Israel having an inheritance, but the Lord has an inheritance. The Lord's inheritance is Israel, is those people. From the beginning of time, when God created Adam, what did he create Adam for? Communion with him, to spend time with him, to have relationship with him. What God's doing is setting apart a people to have relationship with. It's his inheritance. Let's move over to Israel's inheritance. God promised Israel an inheritance of the land of Canaan. He promised Abraham that this land would become his. I know you guys get a lot of Israel here at Faith. It really gets kind of beat into your head. It's good, though, because we should stand with Israel. It is important that we bless them. Israel has seen many miraculous things, from they were scattered throughout the earth. Carrie, in the video, touched on that. They had literally no borders that they could call their own. That's crazy. They had to have been going, God, are you real? And oftentimes we do the same thing. We question God. We go, are you real? We question, like, our faith. Sometimes we waffle. I'm sure Israel in that time was waffling. But I believe it was 1947, Israel became a state with the declaration by, I believe it was the British government at the time. And they became a national state. They had land suddenly. God was faithful to them. Israel has many technological advances that come out of there. If you are going to war with Israel, I'd advise you not to. Every time they get attacked, they not only win, but they usually gain more land. Like, whoever attacks them usually ends up giving up land to them. So you just lose. God is on their side. We touched on how many Nobel Peace Prize winners come out of Israel. That's amazing to me. They literally make up like 0.002% of the global population, and yet they are at like 22% of Nobel Prize winners are of Jewish descent. Blows my mind. There's some smart people. What's that? Texting. You guys should be really thankful to the Jewish people. Because I don't know what you guys would do without texting. Probably would spend more time Sabbathing. It's besides the point. All right, God's faithfulness. God is faithful to his people. I know in my own life, growing up, you guys have heard my story to a certain extent. I gave my life to the Lord when I was 5 years old at a Heaven's Gates Hell's Flame event. And you guys have no clue what that is. Heaven's Gates Hell's Flames is like the craziest play you'll ever see. They essentially run these skits where somebody is, you know, clearly away from the Lord, they die, then the devil comes out and takes them to hell and is really scary. And basically I got scared into the kingdom at 5 years old. I probably should not have been watching Heaven's Gates Hell's Flames. So I got saved at that till I was 14. I had pretty much no waffle in my faith. I just knew God. At about 11 years old, that's when I got filled with the Holy Spirit at a summer camp. We were just there, and God, they just asked if you want to be filled. And I had this desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I just started speaking in tongues for 5 hours. But it was awesome. So I have had an experience with God at a young age. Things changed. I walked away from the Lord. Totally ran. You guys know that story. I shared it when I was first visiting here when we talked about friendship. I just ran hard away from God. But God is faithful. He pulled me out of it. No matter the circumstances, God can always get through, as long as you're open to receive. Abraham was open and willing to do what God asked. And sometimes it just takes time for our hearts to be prostrated in the right spot for God to move. Sometimes it takes the right environment for God to just get through to us. But he's always faithful and always willing to help out his people and to go to bat for them. There's so many times that I probably should have died. I mean, I was in car accidents where I was under the influence. I should have died, but God had different plans. He knew that the seed that was planted in me at an early age would not return void. And the seeds that are planted in you guys now will not return void. No matter what, God is going to be faithful, and I believe that you guys are going to walk with the Lord for a long time, for all your days. I think that's really something that we can take away from Israel is that God has been faithful to them. The odds of the Hebrew language coming back, that language was dead. It was nobody spoke it. And it was raised from the dead. That's amazing to me. Amazing. God is just, he's so good. Go ahead.
I have a story. I'm actually writing an assignment about a belief. And I'm believing that God exists because I had an experience where I actually got to see God and almost be with him. Mm-hmm. And I basically, God said, no, you're not going to come in. Sorry, it's not your time yet. Send me back down.
That's good. Interesting. I'll look forward to that book. That's cool. God is faithful. Always will be, and always will. What I'd like to do now, I want to transition here into a time of prayer for Israel. So we probably just need one person on the keyboard. Let's dim lights, and I want you guys to, let's just all stand. And when it comes to prayer, if we ask Jesus how we should pray, he would say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's how you would start to pray. That's the Lord's Prayer. And that was Jesus teaching us how to pray. And if we want God's kingdom to come, it's going to be established here on earth through Israel. So that's why we bless them, is because not only are they God's chosen people, but he is going to use them on earth when he comes back to establish their kingdom. So right now, if you guys have a prayer language, I would encourage you to use that. And just pray and speak blessing over Israel. All right, guys, I will open us and then we'll go. Lord, we just thank you for Israel. We thank you for your chosen people, the people that brought forth the Messiah. Lord, we are so blessed because of them and because of you. Lord, so we just speak blessing over that country. We pray for peace there. We speak peace into that nation. We pray for the leaders there, Lord, that they would be led by you, that they would do your will. We want your will done in that nation, Lord. We want your will done in our nation here, Lord. Jesus, we can look to Israel as a sign of you, when you're coming, and that is important. Israel is such a strong indicator that we are in the end times because they have established a nation, Lord, and we want to be like watchmen on the wall, waiting to see, anticipating to be ready for your return. Jesus. Lord, we know this church has a strong heart for Israel. And we want this to be something that our students grasp, that Israel is not just any other nation, but they are your nation. Jesus. Tell you what, there's any students that feel led to lead out in prayer, you're welcome to come forward and we'll do so, but otherwise we'll just kind of stay in this atmosphere of prayer. Don't talk to your friends. Just continue to pray and focus on praying for peace in Israel, praying for the leaders, for the leaders of our country, that they would stand with them and then continue to love them and to keep them as a strong ally.